This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
You gotta rise above it. Mm-hmm. You gotta harness in the good energy, block out the bad. Harness energy, block bad. Mm-hmm. Feel the flow, happy. Feel it. It's circular. It's like a carousel.
Welcome back. It's time for the whole show pressure cooker, Michael, and I'm ready to say we're putting the Rockies in a little bit of the pressure cooker here, Mike. Next week's going to be different, different story. But you're 6-6. I think sweeping the Astros, winning four games in a row, has even the doubters. The doubters are still going,
it's April.
That's you, Mike. It's April. They're good in April. They haven't been good in April in 3 years, Mike. So this is something. This is nothing to sneeze at, what they're doing.
No, it's nothing to sneeze at. Congratulations, you're 500.
23 runs in three games. 32 hits in three games. Four home runs in three games and four stolen bases in that series against the Astros. 9-7, 5-1, and 9-1. And they're pitching well. We got to talk more about their pitching coach, Alon Leishman. He was hired back in December. He was hired to revamp the staff. He has been special. But I'm putting the Rockies in the pressure cooker, Mike. The Rockies. Not just, you know, one person in particular. Hurgit's pitching tonight. It's going to be a late one. You're tied with the Padres. I know. 4 million games. But it's something. It's the ninth day of April. And this team last year, when did they get their... I mean, we're going to be doing this all year. You realize that. Every time they win. They didn't get their sixth win, Mike, until May 1st. They beat the San Francisco Giants 4-3 to put them at 6-25. This is fun. They're in the pressure cooker, Mike, because, okay, we all know Woody Paige, right? Woody Paige is not a fan of mine because I said Aaron Gordon is good at basketball. But he had tweeted last night, they go on a four-game winning streak, and this was his tweet. Woody Paige, famous Colorado sports guy. Rocks Bottoms announced average attendance of past three games at barely 16,000. And as all media know and don't report, the franchise lies about size of crowds and includes no-shows. So the Rocks actually drew fewer than 40,000 for series with the Astros. I get it. We talked about it. People have been burnt by this team for too long. And unfortunately, we're starting to see the effects now, which is a strange time because the Rockies are actually, at as we talk today, 1:09 on a Thursday afternoon and somewhat early April, the Rockies are good at baseball right now. I don't know if that's going to be the theme all season long. I knew this team would be better than historically bad. But, I mean, come on. If we can't take a pause for a second and go away from... Dude, we've been beating up the Rockies for 4 years. Like, we've honestly been beating up the Rockies most of their time as a franchise. Why can't we take a step back and acknowledge what's going on today? They bring in new people. Paul D. Podesta, an analytics guy, just talked about the pitching coach. Warren Schaefer, Tanner noted this the other day, watching him in the dugout taking notes throughout the game. I know it seems like, oh, wow, a manager's actually managing. I didn't see Bud Black do that a whole heck of a lot. I just feel like, man, the work that they are putting into winning any game, I don't know if they can keep that up. I do feel like they got to work hard. They got to work really hard to figure this out. When you are working with analytics, it's not just about, you know, the Jimmys and Joes. I think for the Rockies, it's certainly about the X's and O's. But if we're, like, why pick yesterday to go on the negative about this team? I don't understand it. If you can't be positive when they won four games in a row and they're 6-6 and they didn't win six games until until we were into May last year, then I'm just convinced you're actively rooting against this team. Lord knows I have made fun of the Rockies a lot on this show. I was certainly a part of the hashtag sell the team dick crowd. I was. And Tanner would get so pissed off at me. Rightfully so. For me to say the things I said, because we were frustrated. We want this team to be good at baseball. This could be a semi-baseball state if the Rockies were good. If we are going to just spend our time, even when we see some positives, 23 runs in three games, and we want to focus on the attendance. I get it, man. I'm not shocked. It's Wednesday afternoon, and it's a historically bad baseball team. And historically, not a great team. I'm not shocked by it. I'm shocked it took this long, actually, for fans to not go to games. But this is why I'm putting them in the pressure cooker. Now they're going on the road. By the time you come back, that's when, the way this should go, you're on the road against, you got San Diego, you got a four-game series starting tonight, and then you're at Houston, and then you come home to play the Dodgers, and we know the crowds are going to be enormous because there's going to be a lot of Dodgers fans there. But I'm putting the Rockies in the pressure cooker because you're going to have the attacks, whether it's the fans or whatever. And I'm not saying Woody Page, that's his right. If he chooses to be a sports guy that wants to always focus on the negative, then that's his right. And he's got a crowd, and some would say he's a legend in Colorado sports figures. Some would say that. But if you can't take a step back and at least go, wow, they're better than we thought they would be. Nobody thought they'd sweep the Astros. Nobody thought they'd win the series against the Astros. They won seven series all of last season. They've now won two of their four. They could lose the next 20 games. They could. They could go right back to it all being really, really bad. And there will be a time for us to bitch about it then. But I'm just saying, if we can't take a step back and enjoy what we're seeing with the Rockies, that we're actually putting them in our banter alongside the NHL's best team and one of the NBA's top teams, the Rockies are actually getting some play. If we can't do that now, then I don't know why you sports, man. You should just watch documentaries or something. Yes, Michael.
Watch both. Documentaries are fun. I'd say I agree with you on some of this stuff. Like, take the positive where you can get it with the Rockies. They've been so terrible recently. Like, you're 6-6 now. Like, we four-game winning streak. Take the positive where you can get it, and right now there's positive. Now, temper your expectations.
Oh,
the game,
yeah.
The
yes.
Season is 7% over.
I get it. And I'm not sitting here like, you know, Tanner's like, oh, Walker Monfort's is the savior of Rockies baseball. I want to believe it, but I'm not going to believe it right now. I mean,
yeah.
Talk to me in June. Talk to me in June. I mean, we're going to be talking about the Rockies.
That's a reminder to all Rockies fans. We've seen Rockies fans get their heart broken
yes.
In June because April, May tends to be a Rockies are doing well couple of months.
Right.
So,
but
yeah,
not,
temper
but,
your expectations,
but
be excited.
Based on the last 3 years, the Rockies have not been good in any month. In any month, they weren't good. So it's a new franchise. It's a new team. It's a new, new manager. I know he took over last year, but this is his first full year. You're doing things differently. It's unorthodox. It doesn't look the same as it does for many baseball teams. They're saying, hey, we know it's hard to win in Colorado for a myriad of reasons. We're going to try something different. And hey, if I had a good pastor once said, we're going to try something new and hope it works. If it doesn't work, then we'll go back to what wasn't working before. Like, that's all you can do. And if you can't, I couldn't believe I saw that tweet last night. I mean, we can be critical of a lot of things. I can be critical about the Nuggets when they win a game. And that's fair to do it. But dwelling on the attendance is bad. It's a no-brainer to me. I'm shocked we weren't talking about this more last year. The attendance is bad. I knew it would happen. It's on the Rockies now, this season, to try to change people's minds, and that's why they're in the whole show pressure cooker. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Kevin Lytle's going to talk to us next. A lot of changes for the Colorado State Rams on the basketball side of things. They're retaining a good chunk of their roster, but a significant change in the coach's room coming up for the Colorado State Rams. We'll talk to Kevin about that here in just a moment. We'll take a short break here. Keep it on the whole show, powered by Mosquito Joe. We're Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
The Nuggets, the Avalanche, the Rockies, the NCAA, and the NFL, and KFKA. And we aren't changing anytime soon. We have the sports broadcast you need on Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one feeling, like lighting that open sign for the first time. Like deciding whether or not to frame that first dollar. Like knowing every customer by name when they walk through the door. Whether you're starting from scratch or from a century of tradition, every business deserves a bank that's been growing communities for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, this is Sean Keeler of the Denver Post. You're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's a lot to talk about, and we were talking about all the exciting things going on in the state of Colorado when it comes to sports. Well, we've been witnessing a lot of excitement from this Colorado State men's basketball team over the years, and it just seems like they've had a really good offseason so far. We'll talk to Kevin a little bit more in detail about that. Joining us now on the First Advantage Hotline is Kevin Lytle from the Coloradoan. Kevin, I wanted to get to this one, though. Our guy, we talked a little bit about him a week or two ago, but Ken DeWeese, he's leaving Colorado State.
Yeah, definitely. Happy for Ken. Got the head job at Colorado Mesa, which is a good program. They were in the D2 NCAA tournament this year. Mike Dunlap stepped down after the season. He's a guy that's been around Colorado basketball a long time as well. So yeah, great opportunity for Ken DeWeese. I think he'll do a great job there. Obviously, as a for the CSU side, you generally want stability, but also I've had lots of coaches in the past say if no one on my staff is going to become a head coach, I don't have a good enough staff. So I think it's great for Ken, a great opportunity, and really happy for him. He's a guy that's, like you kind of said, he's gone up and down the front range, so just spreading that out a little bit west now.
Yeah, it's funny. We were just talking about that. Like, hey, should he go get is he going to get another job somewhere where he just tries to conquer every team in this area? And, well, there you go. He keeps it rolling, stays in the state.
We kind of eyed the wrong direction within the state, but we had the right idea.
Yeah, and Ken's a good guy, Kevin. Yeah. I really like him, and obviously he was with UNC. You noted it in your story with Wyoming, CSU, and now is going to try his hand at being a head coach. How do you think he'll do as a head coach?
You never know, because it is different, and I'm not going to pretend to know the full landscape of what Colorado Mesa has, but like I say, it's a program that's been pretty good. I'll be surprised if he's not good there. I mean, he's really well regarded as a human being, which I think is important as a head coach and as a coach as well, as far as the basketball side. So I think he'll do well.
Yeah, well, congratulations to Ken DeWeese. I'll look forward to seeing what he can do there. Kevin Lytle joining us from the Coloradoan. All right, Kevin, another guy enters the transfer portal, another non-shocker. Based on your conversation with us 2 weeks ago, I think, again, those percentages have lined up. Nicola Joppa is entering the transfer portal.
Yep, definitely not a surprise guy. That just, you know, didn't really have much of a role. I think I noted he maybe appeared in one game in all of February and March this year. You know, he did carve out a bit of a spot in that 2025 NCAA tournament team, sort of the big off the bench, but you know, with some of the additions, you know, probably most notably like Kerry Booth coming in and Kyle Jorgensen, you know, growing into his role, there just wasn't really a spot for him. He's a guy that I think is an okay player that certainly can play somewhere. It's just there wouldn't really be minutes for him at CSU, and it's always hard to count eligibility years these days, but I believe he has just one left, so it makes sense that he'd want to go somewhere where he can play a little bit. So I think that's one. I don't know Nicola very well myself, but I've heard, you know, lots of good things from people around the program. So, yeah, I'm hoping, expecting he'll be able to go find a good spot for him and hopefully have a good last year in college.
Kevin, how do those conversations go? Is that one where, you know, he sits down with Ali Farokmanesh and, you know, Ali lays out, hey, here's what it looks like, man. I'm going to be honest with you. You know, the playing time's probably going to be very similar to what we saw this year. Any insight there? Because I know, obviously, covering CSU like you do, you're having these discussions with coaches.
Yeah, I don't know as detailed as I did under Medved, but I would guess it's very similar because I know, you know, Nico and that staff, which obviously include Ali, yeah, it would be a very honest conversation of, hey, this is what we do and also what we don't see for you next year. That's why I always caution when, you know, people say, oh, you know, no loyalty anymore, this guy's leaving. Sometimes it's the coach sat them down and said, hey, like, you're not going to play. So, you know, if that's what you want, okay. But if you would like to play, you know, you might want to look elsewhere. And so, yeah, I think that's been one of the strengths of this program at CSU is honesty. Because, you know, how do you keep a locker room bought in? A lot of times that's honesty. Because if you tell all 12 guys that you have, oh, yeah, you know, you're probably going to be the star next year. You know, we're really going to lean into you. And then they play 3 minutes a night. You get a lot of discord. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, those conversations are definitely just open and honest of what do you want? Here's what we want. Here's what we see. Here's what we don't see for you. You know, let's kind of make a decision here.
Kevin, on the retaining of players, obviously it's impressive, the amount of guys that are coming back. I saw Jeff Goodman's post yesterday, percentage of scholarship players in the portal, 49% approximately. Doesn't that just speak even louder about what Ali is doing in early on in his career to retain some of his top players?
Yeah, it's really big time because, I mean, CSU does have, what, 5 scholarship guys, you know, portaling. But it's, again, this isn't any offense to them. It's just, you know, the role, they retain pretty much the guys they want to. You know, the big role guys, guys that will play a lot of minutes, get a lot of shots. That also, you know, potentially were and could have been tampered with. They retained them. So, yeah, it's a huge win of an offseason so far.
I mean, I am just a little. Now, I knew Ali Farokmanesh was going to be good, Kevin. Obviously, I thought, and you know this, at one point this season, I thought, okay, this is going to be kind of like a learning year for Ali. But nope, they win 20 plus and certainly made an impression, like they maybe even could do something crazy in the Mount West tournament. But I just didn't expect this, and I didn't expect this offseason quite from Ali. And I guess I got to just start expecting more greatness from this dude.
You just don't know. I mean,
I don't
because
know.
I didn't mean that as
no,
directly.
No, you're right. No, Kevin,
I mean, you know, in the realm of there are just so many factors in play, and I think Ali would probably tell you, yeah, we felt good on, you know, what we could offer and our relationships with those guys, but you never know. I mean, kids have one. You have the tampering, which it's happening. Like let's not try and be naive and say, well, those guys aren't in the portal, so they haven't talked to anyone. That's nonsense. And, you know, you got your friends and you're, you know, talking to you, and you never know who's in their ears saying, well, man, you should do this, you should do that. The money element, there are just so many factors that even with good relationships, you know, CSU, you know, what they can offer financially, all that, you just don't know. So, yeah, it's been a huge success. And I think Ali would probably also say, yeah, we, you know, we felt good about where we were at, but that doesn't guarantee it's going to come together like this.
Kevin, do you have any idea as far as the money that CSU has available to them on the basketball side? Is there a ballpark number that you've heard of?
I had heard last season was in kind of the 2 mil range. I don't know exactly or even super generally where next season is. I mean, obviously, I feel safe to say it's not going to go down from there, because you can't really go down unless you're kind of just waving the white flag. So yeah, I think it's somewhere, and I believe that's a somewhat, you know, fairly competitive in the realm they're in. Obviously, every coach will always tell you they want more and need more, but I think they're growing it and in a, you know, fairly competitive spot.
Kevin, talk to me. I mean, obviously retaining players is kind of that first step, is what you need to do now. But you wrote about this morning on the recruiting class, and just how excited people should be about this class coming in.
Yeah, it's so you got three guys: Jaden Goreshi from Washington. He's a center, power forward. Got Eric Fiedler from Regis, just, you know, kind of down the road here. He's a forward, like a 6'8 forward, and then Pops Dunson from Georgia, a true point guard. And, you know, I've said this a billion times on your show, I think, but take recruiting rankings with a grain of salt, but they do tell you a little something as far as overall interest in players and how they're viewed in the, you know, their sports world. And these guys are ranked as three of the top seven recruits in CSU history by 24/7 Sports. So they are viewed very, very strongly. And collectively as a class, it's the best class CSU has ever landed by recruiting rankings. Now, again, we'll see what happens. I think everyone knows the best class ever was the Tonjay, Roddy, Stevens, Deshaun Thomas, James Moore's group. That was ranked okay, but not great, you know, so that kind of goes to show why, you know, grain of salt through recruiting rankings. But no, these guys look good. I mean, I think all three have a chance to play next year. I think because they retain so many veterans, you now kind of use your freshmen as backups a little bit. I kind of like, you know, is Kyan Evans was the backup to Isaiah Stevens. It's, you know, that exact situation isn't happening, but somewhat similar of like Jaden Goreshi, for instance. He's got Booth, Bimba, and Jorgensen in front of him in the bigs rotation. So he'll kind of learn from those guys, probably play some minutes, and then, you know, theoretically take over for some of them.
Kevin, it's like we've been doing this together for a while. You set me up for my next question. I was going to talk about Kyan Evans. You noted this as well. Kyan is now entering the transfer portal 1 year at North Carolina. He's not going to get to team up with Michael Malone over there. But the question I have, and maybe this is like a 1% chance, but is there any chance that Kyan Evans would come back to Colorado State?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the one on the minds of a lot of CSU fans. I don't think so. I think he'll stay in the Power Four realm. I've had people whispering to me since about February that they thought he'd end up at Minnesota with Nico Medved. Mm. But I also know that he and Ali Prokmanesh had a good relationship. I would be surprised if they didn't at least talk, if nothing else, because as we've talked about, Ali's a big relationship guy, and I'm sure he's probably checked in on Kyan, you know, as a human, you know, in addition to a basketball player. So never say never. I'm definitely going to leave that door open until it's officially shut, but I don't think it's the most, you know, a very high likelihood.
How does that process work, too? Ali gets wind of Kyan entering the portal. He officially enters the portal and then shoots him a text like, hey, man, just thinking about you, dude. What's going on?
Yep, pretty much. You know, Nick Clifford told that story of when he entered the portal. So basically, there's some paperwork and whatever. He was walking out of the CU offices after doing that. It got, you know, entered into the system. and, you know, pops up in, you know, literally the portal that coaches can view. And he said he got a text from Ali, or maybe it's a call, like immediately, like that quickly from Ali. So, yeah, it is literally that of, hey, saw you in the portal, you know, you up?
Well, and you know Nico Medved's doing the exact same thing, and we're going to have ourselves like a Jerry Maguire situation between the two coaches.
Yeah, totally. And like I say, obviously, with those relationships, again, I'm sure they weren't surprised to see Kyan in the portal.
Yeah, I was. When Michael Malone first got hired, that was my first thought. One of my first thoughts, I guess. I'm shocked by the hire, to be honest. Yeah. But I thought, wow, that's kind of cool for Kyan Evans. He's going to get a play with Michael Malone, but I guess not the case.
Yeah, he did slightly leave the door open. His little tweet saying he's portaling had the, you know, with the option to return or something like that. But, you know, it does take two to tango as well. And, you know, I have no idea what Michael Malone thinks of Kyan Evans. But like I say, those honest conversations can happen as well from that side.
Kevin Lytle. Hey, I'm going to finally, Kevin, I'm getting a, you know, good friend of mine, Jim Mora, on the program next week. Any cheats for me? Any questions off the top of your head that I could ask him that I could steal from you?
Just ask about hiking. Sweet spot right there.
That's where I'm going to go. So, Kevin, I used you as an example today. I don't know. Have you been paying attention to this Mike Vrabel, Diana Rossini thing? This,
I'm vaguely aware and kind of trying to.
It's a wild story, but I actually used you today as a connection because I was like, if Kevin were, you know, we know we've seen him hiking with Jim Mora and. We've had these discussions, too, you and I have. It would probably kind of hurt your credibility. Like, if you're hanging out with these coaches all the time, and I'm not even talking about the romantic side between Vrabel and Rossini, if there was one, but it does kind of mess with the credibility side of it. And I know you and I have had those conversations about, you know, how close is too close, celebrating with the team, that kind of thing. And I know your stance has always been, no, I'm a reporter. I'm there to observe.
Yeah, no, it's an interesting balance, off record, off, you know, site, whatever you want to call it, communication, obviously, yeah, throw out the potential romantic question marks there or whatever, but it is a balance of, you know, it's helpful to have a good relationship where you feel you can have open, honest communication with people. And, you know, I've gone with sources, you know, to have a beverage and just talk off the record where we can pick each other's brains. You know, so there is that, but yeah, there's a line somewhere too of yeah, I'm not going to the family picnic or whatever. So yeah, it is different. I've most certainly never, you know, gone, you know, to the hotel spa or the,
you're
you know,
not like
pool,
holding hands with Ali
the
or
pool,
anything,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, the pool resort with any coaches or anything like that. But yeah, there is a line somewhere there where it can be kind of intuitive. Like I say, I mean, I've gone to have a beverage with a coach to. You know, sometimes both of us want to pick each other's brains about, you know, things they know, things we know, all that, and have those discussions. But yeah, I figure if swimsuit is involved, like, yeah, no.
So if Jim Mora calls you today and says, hey, Kevin, I'm heading up to Horsetooth, man, I'm gonna go in for a hike. We're not talking work. We're not talking anything. You can't ask me any questions about football. You in? You want to just go hang out, man? Are you saying yes to that?
That'd be an interesting one. I mean, that'd be a relationship builder, but I'd also be like, I don't know, you'd probably kick my butt up the mountain, and that'd be embarrassing for me.
Yeah, that's true, actually. I know I would say yes, obviously, but then, yeah, then the work part of it would be a little scary as far as hiking with him.
Yeah, I think he probably motors up that mountain pretty quick.
Yeah, he seems like a feisty guy. Anything sticking out, you know, as we're in the midst of spring ball and anything like that? Anything new to report?
A lot similar. I like the tight ends. I think there's some good team speed around the edges, you know, especially like running back position. I'm super intrigued by the quarterback battle, which is a very real battle. You know, like some of the defensive players, it's just, you know, kind of like, you know, not to just push Coach Prime, but I agreed with his points the other day. It can be hard to tell when it's just one team playing against each other all the time.
So are you saying we should have a spring football game between the Rams and the Buffs every year, Kevin? What do you think?
I don't know about that, but I like the joint practices idea. I think that's pretty solid, actually. I would be in favor of something like that. Spring game, I've actually advocated for make that your FCS game. So, you know, have CSU and UNC play in the spring. The broad idea of have teams be able to play each other a little bit in spring, I actually really do like it.
That's kind of fascinating. I was shocked to hear Prime go there, you know, honestly, to allow the idea to enter Buffs fans' brains that, the Rams could play them in a football game.
Yeah, no, I mean, maybe coaching changes have eased any angst he might have.
He might. And you, Kevin, you know I'm going to predict who's going to win that spring game, right? You know I've got a pick already for that.
Obviously.
Kevin, my man, appreciate you, dude, and look to catch up with you next week. Love when you can be on the station with us, man.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me.
All right, Kevin Lytle, Fort Collins, Colorado. And yeah, I'm going hiking. If Jim Mora asks me to go hiking, I'm definitely the opposite of Kevin on this, Mike. And you are, too. If Sean Payton called you and said, Michael, you want to come just watch a movie? You're like already there. You would just leave. I'd just see a cloud of dust and you'd be scooting down the interstate.
We would be talking Broncos, though.
Yeah, I'm sure that would be a fun conversation. What's your first question to Sean Payton when you sit down with him?
Can I have tickets?
That's what your first question would be?
Actually, no. My first question would be, can I hang out with the owners in their booth?
That's what your first question would be. So Sean Payton calls you right now and says, "Hey Mike, here we go, man. I'm an open book. Ask me a question." And your question will be, "Can I sit in the owner's box?"
Actually, I might say, "So those ankles, how are they doing?"
There you go. Look at you. Who needs Kevin Lytle? We've got our reporter right here. We've got our guy.
I'd show him my 2005 preseason press pass.
But you're
and he'd be amazed.
He would be amazed they gave it to you. Yeah, he would be.
He'd be like, wow, that thing is so cool. It's so rudimentary.
He'd say, man, they're letting everybody cover the Broncos now. Just literally anybody can just cover the Broncos. I'm sure that's what he'd say. No holding hands with Sean and sitting poolside in bathing suits, though, okay?
Trust me to not do that.
All right. 41 minutes after the hour. I'm sorry, but that's the way it's going to go now, guys. That's what happens. When you go out and do stuff like that, you're going to be the butt of a lot of jokes. And that's just the way the world turns. 41 minutes after, let's jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hey, this is Ed Lamb, head football coach of the UNC Bears. You're listening to The Whole Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Big City Roadhouse. I've got a place for you guys to go and watch stuff. Watch the Masters. Watch the Rockies. Watch the Nuggets and Avalanche in the playoffs. Help me out, Hooligans. I want to make Big City Roadhouse the spot to go watch your favorite teams play, where we can all come together as one. I mean, you've witnessed some of the great moments at Big City Roadhouse, Mike. We just were watching March Madness over there a couple of weeks ago. You got to witness an elite athletic competition in the parking lot, for heaven's sakes.
What's that nicknamed?
The race that Tanner lost.
You can do better.
The race that Tanner lost. Did you know he lost? Did you know I beat him? At Big City Roadhouse. That place is famous already, but I think we added to the legend a little bit. That place is ridiculous. Their pizza is so good.
Your picture on the wall.
You probably will. Probably a picture of me beating Tanner. I have the picture. It's a great picture. Just shows me beating him. It was a lot of fun. Big City Roadhouse, man. Big City flavor, Roadhouse comfort. It is comfortable in there. They have TVs everywhere. Sit down and enjoy some of the best food around. They have a 5-star chef. Just happens to be one of the owners. And they are constantly adding great new items to their menu, but they've got their staples, too. That's Big City Roadhouse. Tell them we sent you here. Actually, Mike, I have a $25 gift certificate to give away to Big City Roadhouse. What do you think? Should we give it away? Would you like to?
Yeah. The winner is Michael Kirkpatrick, the 439th.
Which
from
number?
Greeley.
Let's go caller number. You know what? Caller number 6. The Rockies have 6 wins. Let's go caller number 6. First Advantage hotline is 970-353-1310. Be caller number 6, and you're winning a $25 gift certificate to Big City Roadhouse.
And that's representative of the Rockies' 6 losses.
Okay, Woody Page. Enough from you, Woody.
You know, the Rockies won six, but let's not forget about the six games they lost. Let's focus on that.
Caller number 6-970-353-1310. Call in and tell Michael to cheer up a little bit. Mister, we're going to start calling you Woody Page back there. We'll take a short break. What did we learn coming up next? We'll be right back.
Two dudes, one mission. To provide the best morning radio in Colorado. Good morning, NoCo. Weekdays 6 to 10. On Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
This is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, hey, what do you say? We all had a special day. Now turn to a friend and say what you learned today.
What do we learn on this ninth day of April? Well, we learned from Jason Kosmitsky that maybe not to worry about Peyton Watson. He's going to be okay. He's going to be ready to go by the time we get to the playoffs. So that makes me happy. That Aaron Gordon's feeling good. He kind of looked like he was hurting a little bit last night. Hopefully so. Hopefully we can keep guys healthy through this run because I'm ready for it. I am absolutely pumped. Kevin Lytle, we learned that pretty small chance of Kyan Evans coming back to CSU, but a guy can dream. Michael, what'd you learn today?
I want Peyton Watson to just, like, you know, knock a ball away, like, in an epic fashion.
So that they can say Peyton Swatson?
Peyton Swatson!
I think they do. They call him P-Swat, actually.
Because that would be so sweet.
He's probably done it a few times. Did you ask Cause to do that?
No, I didn't.
You should have. You had the opportunity. You had him on the phone.
I got to say, he's one of the best broadcasters.
He's great.
Of all time.
I like Cause. He's a good dude. We'll be back at it on a Friday, Mike. What do you want to talk about?
Well, aside from the Broncos.
When are we starting our movie review?
I thought it was May.
Can we do Jerry Maguire first?
I thought we were doing baseball.
So. Yeah, we're doing baseball.
Well, we have to explain how it's going to go, because Jerry Maguire is...
Business.
On the list, possibly.
Yes, we're doing categories of sports, so it's very complex, as you would come to expect from a show like this. Very complex people.
I made the list.
Good night, Northern Colorado.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.